Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hello, Jackson 5 on a Victory Motown Monday. Snowed in and all throughout the DMV and beyond. Wherever you might be listening, like Rodney in Orlando was listening on the Always Live and Free Odyssey app, which you can download if you haven't already done. Very easy from your phone, from your computer, wherever. You can take it anywhere. If you're running errands, if you're doing yard work, if you're shoveling like I was this morning listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show. And speaking of the Kevin Sheehan Show, Kevin opened up his show this morning. I just tweeted about it, just in case people didn't hear it. With an email, and someone suggested, I forget who it was, but it was an email, that the Commanders should consider starting Marcus Mariota this Sunday in Tampa. And I know I got at least one tweet about that last night, and I think I got, let me see here, I just want to make sure.
Was it Linnell that sent you that tweet?
I got somebody sent me something that was basically saying, too bad Jaden didn't win it for them. Maybe it's not Jaden and it's just the play calling. Mariota hasn't looked that good since Oregon. Listen, I think you're crazy if you think that it was strictly about play calling last night or yesterday afternoon. I'm sorry. I mean, were they getting rid of the football quicker? More quick game? Absolutely. Absolutely. But if you think that they drew up something from Marcus Mariota that they won't allow Jaden Daniels to do or haven't done with Jaden Daniels, no. Jaden Daniels and nobody played well in the first half. Nobody. Nobody. I mean, they ran the trick play. And they should have had it. It was right there for OZ. And, of course, if they hit that, we have a different feel and a different taste in our mouth and a different sense of how yesterday went. But they didn't hit it.
At the start of the game, it kind of felt like they had all the wide receivers were snacking on some popcorn on the sidelines because yeah. There was nothing but Butterfingers.
Well, yes. Now, listen, there was one that people are going to call a drop on OZ, not the touchdown. The one along the sidelines where he has to outstretch his arms and hands for it, and it does hit him in the hands. But it is not a good, it's not a good enough throw.
Oh, there was a bunch of difficult catches that were on people's hands,
yes.
And you weren't able to come down with it, that as a viewer, we're watching and we're like, come on, how can't you come down with it? It's in your hands. But just to be in that position to have your hands on it is difficult in the first place. So give them a little bit of credit on those. But there was
it's funny that you say that,
drops.
Though, because the one that I'm talking about along the sidelines, I don't kill OZ for it. I mean, could he have made the catch? Sure. Would it have been a nice catch? Absolutely. Does every throw have to be perfect? No. But the bottom line is it wasn't a good enough throw, and it was a difficult enough catch that I don't call that a drop. It's a non-catch, but it's not a drop. I do distinguish between the two. Whereas the touchdown on the fake play on the throwback from De'Ami Brown is a drop. That is a drop.
That is
a drop, not a non-catch. It's not a difficult catch. He just dropped it. You know, there was a slant. I mentioned it earlier on third down, I think on the third offensive series. Maybe it was the fourth. I can't remember. To Terry McLaurin.
Where he laid out and just, it was maybe 4 inches, a little bit too far.
No, that was another play. That was another play that you're thinking of.
I was about to say, that was where I was going with. That's an example of, that was a miscatch. Yeah, he had it like on his fingertips, but it wasn't. He had to stretch out, dive to try and catch it,
right.
And still just barely missed it.
Jaden didn't just pull the string, basically. That one to me wasn't a drop. That's a non-catch on a really, really, really difficult play. I was talking about the third down slant. Again, I think on the third series, maybe it was the fourth series. I can't remember, where, you know, they're just a hair off. Like there's a window there and Terry gets there, but they're just a hair off. So again, it's not like they were far away from being, oh, I don't know, instead of a 3-point output and a real sour taste in our mouth heading into the playoffs to where they put up at least 10, maybe more. And, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe the prism is again, very, very, very different, but the bottom line is it is what it is, but we should not be fooled into thinking under any circumstances in any way, shape or form. As good as Marcus Mariota was in the second half yesterday, as good as he was after the first couple of series against Carolina, there is no way, there's no way anyone should even realistically be contemplating, hey, man, let's go with Marcus Mariota instead of Jaden Daniels. Unless Jaden's more injured than we have been led on and told. And that's the only way, period. That's the only way. This isn't a performance issue. Jaden's been a little erratic, a little up and down. He's been great. He's been eh. He wasn't very good yesterday. But this isn't a, hey, we've opened Pandora's box. We've cracked the door open for Marcus Mariota to take 50-50 reps. Again, the only way is if Jaden Daniels is more hurt or injured than they are letting on. All right, let's get back to the phones. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Alex in Alexandria on line 5, Matt, to kick off hour number 2. What up, Alex? How are you?
How about that number 5 caller? What does that tell you?
That's number 5.
You're going to start. Anyway, I did not like the performance yesterday. I thought it was pathetic. And honestly, I was watching the game here with my buddy, and I said they should put Mariota in the game after the first quarter because Daniels was not moving the offense at all. He was very timid in the pocket. Those two sacks that he took, you know, he could have gotten rid of the ball sort of way instead of, you know, getting hit. And that kind of worries me right there. For a game,
I thought on the third sack along the sideline, he could have gotten rid of it and instead stepped out of bounds. Yeah. In the moment, I didn't hate it because I'm just about don't take any unnecessary hits or anything like that. But I understand how he could have thrown that and at least taken a shot considering where he was and the room that he had ultimately after he ran away from some heat seeking missiles. The second sack, I didn't think on the first drive on third down, I didn't think he really had a chance. The first one, I would have to go back and double check. But again, I felt like the pressure was pretty quick for Micah Parsons.
But anyway, for the important as that game was, because it was very important, they were flat. They were complete. I mean, the team was flat. The defense worries me, and it worries me a lot, that this guy, the quarterback for the Cowboys yesterday, he was rolling out every time, and every time he was hitting people wide open.
Yeah.
People were not containing, they were not staying in their lane. So my question is, and this is for you. I don't know if you will elaborate on this, but I don't think this team is suited for a 4-3 defense. They're not. I think if they're going to play against Tampa and those wide receivers and that running back that they have, which is pretty good, I think they need to switch to a 3-4 and play more nickel because they got to seal that edge. They don't create any pass rush from the edge anyway, and you know we're getting killed on the run.
So here's my concern.
6-7 yards a pop.
like here's my concern, right? First of all, I don't think that's going to happen, but here's what should and can happen and what probably will happen is, remember when they were struggling to stop Bijan Robinson last Sunday night and they put Deron Payne more on the outside at end, and that helped set the edge along with Holmes and Javonte Jean-Baptiste and so on and so forth, and they were able to again funnel him inside a little bit more, in addition to him having a reduced amount of carries. That's number one. Here's the one thing that I would be concerned about if they were contemplating, and I don't think they are, but if they were just contemplating going to like a 3-4 type of situation, who's going to be the nose tackle in this team's 3-4? Who's going to be the two gap run stuffing, penetrate but run stop nose tackle? They don't have that guy. So unless you go out and get that guy in free agency or the draft, you can't do it, right?
But right now they're not doing it. They're not. They're not. Nobody's squeezing the gap.
Well, I know. But
Mike is not playing well. I mean,
but Alex, my point is you're right. They're not doing all of this stuff good. You're right. But what I'm trying to get you to understand where I'm coming from is, if you wanted to do something radical like that, who do you put in that spot that's going to clog up all of those interior gaps? Because teams are going to know that and see that and exploit that.
You're either going to have to play nickel.
But that has nothing to do with the front.
You're going to have to play dime. Because you're going
to
have
to. But Alex, that has nothing to do with the front. That's the problem. Right there, that has nothing to do with the front. Well, I mean, yes, you would get more defensive backs on the field. Great. And you'd be theoretically better in coverage and you could drop them down. But they're having problems right now anchoring at the point of attack. That's where they're having problems.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the line of scrimmage.
It's not
a horrible idea. I just don't think they have the personnel. If you think they don't have the personnel to run a 4-3, I know they don't have a personnel to run a 3-4. I appreciate get the phone call, though. It's an interesting idea. Let's go line six. I think Raymond in College Park is up next on the Team 980. Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I called in twice before about Mariota and Jaden Daniels being hurt.
Right.
I don't know if you remember. I called him.
I vaguely remember. Yeah.
And the Rolls Royce when it's injured or when you got to bust it. Strut, you know, put it in the shop till it's right, you know. And yesterday when they put Mariota in and he won the game, you know, I felt vindicated because I think you chopped me up after you cut me off. You said that my study of leadership, like, I don't know. I've been studying leadership for 30 years.
No, I don't I remember it more now. I don't think I was. Maybe I was in a bad mood. I don't know.
You said I was off the phone. I couldn't defend my position because I'm an
intellect. I think I remember this.
My arguments.
Yeah, I think I remember this. Is that you were basically preaching that leadership is the most important quality or asset.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken, right? And that's why
what I was saying was Jaden. Everybody was acting like Jaden was this super duper star, and I understand that, but I could see that it was really the leadership and the culture that Dan Quinn and his lieutenants had put in place for Jaden to thrive. I mean, there's plenty of talented people in the NFL,
right?
But you
would agree with me that yes, while your premise is true, that Jaden Daniels is, in terms of pure natural talent and his ability to break teams down with his legs and extend and his arm and his football acumen, you would agree with me that not every person is the same just because they're in a good conducive system for leadership and structure and brotherhood and all this stuff, right? That there is differences between players.
What I'm saying is when you preach brotherhood, which I preached, okay, I've been over 46 men, and when you preach brotherhood, guess what happens? You can't have a second string because you're all brothers, meaning you're all equal, right? So if one brother is injured and cannot do his job effectively or as good as he can if he was 100%, and understand this, the coaches know he's injured, so that means they're going to affect the play calling because they don't want him to get re-injured or injured worse. Now, Chris, if you go back to the Atlanta game, let me say this, and then I'll shut up. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the Atlanta game, Jaden got stopped on the goal line,
yes.
man,
yeah.
right in the ribs.
Yes.
Okay, and when I saw that, I said, oh, no. And then when I saw him come out for the Dallas game flat, I said, okay, because you got to understand, that's a pure athlete. If something's not right in his body, it's going to show up. He's a rookie. He hasn't learned enough to battle through injuries and compensate. And he hasn't learned that yet. He's got to figure that out. So Mariota, who is not a Jaden Daniels, but he's an athlete in his own right. He's 100%.
So, all right, Raymond, let me jump in.
He's not going to let you down.
I appreciate the phone call. I do. I'm not mad at you or anything like that. I love the debate. And I love like kind of discussion and trying to figure things out. I get a lot of what you're saying. Here's the one thing that I would say is I do think it's possible that Jaden was not feeling fresh coming into this game. I think he took a pounding and you saw the same thing I did. And that's why I directly asked him on last Wednesday, New Year's Day. Hey, man, your body feel any different this week than normal after all the hard hits you took? And he said, what hard hits? I didn't take any. And he said he was totally fine. Now, this is why I also don't believe players and coaches hook, line, and sinker. Because I think there is a chance. I think there is a possibility that he wasn't feeling 100% fresh as a daisy, if you will. And maybe no player is, but maybe that was the possibility. But that doesn't mean, you know, when you come out and say, hey, man, in a brotherhood, there is no ones and first strings and second strings. And I also understand that, right? And maybe that's the way they operate, too. But in football, whether we call it a brotherhood, a fraternity, a tight-knit team, whatever it is, there is first and second string. There is a starter. There is a reserve. There's a depth chart. And Jaden Daniels is atop that, and that's based on how he has performed since the minute he walked into the building. And that doesn't mean Marcus Mariota is incapable, as we've seen. And I have a lot of confidence now in Marcus Mariota as a backup. Do I want Marcus Mariota starting long-term? Absolutely not. Do I want Marcus Mariota starting this Sunday night in Tampa? Hell no. But if he has to come in for injury or somehow, some way, Jaden is just clueless, which I can't imagine, then I'm cool with that as well. All right, let's take a timeout, and we'll sort of stay on track, and then we'll get back to you. We'll start with Paulie next, who, of course, wants to yell at me and get gonged. We'll see how this goes. and we'll also get to Franco, DC, Mark, and you at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. There was nothing easy on a Sunday afternoon in Dallas or Arlington. But as we opened up the show, listen, a win is a win. You are what you are. Again, people spout this stuff all the time. There, of course, is context and nuance to everything. But you are 12-5. And what you lacked in expert perfection, or I should say execution, perfect execution is where I wanted to go with that in English. For 59 minutes and 55 seconds, you made up for in one unbelievable and perfectly run and executed play. And when you have the ability to make that play, and to be that good late in games, as this team consistently has been, usually with Jaden Daniels, but yesterday with Marcus Mariota, you have the ability to overcome things. Just like when you can strike up the band with big shot plays or big chunk plays, you can make up for other things that you don't do as well. And just like for everybody down on the defense, and I understand it, when you can, granted, against Trey Lance, no CD Lamb and the Cowboys, when you can stop them 5 out of 6 times on in the red zone, it's a problem that you allow that much, you know, then you can get away with things. Now, the problem is, try doing that against Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield this Sunday night. Not going to happen. Let's get back to the phones. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Paulie on line two, Maddie. He wants to yell at the rooster. What about, Paulie? How are you? Hope you had a great weekend, my friend. It's always great to have you on the show.
L to the W, man. What's going on, Rufio?
What's
my
up, Paulie?
Matty Ice, man.
Uh-huh. How is Maddie your man and I'm not? That's what I want to know.
Man, that's self-explanatory.
I don't talk crazy.
He's the one that gongs your ass.
You the one to give him the head nod to gong me.
That's not true, Matt. Maddie, is that true?
Oh, he tells me, he turns off his mic, he tells me, gong him.
Right, exactly. You got to tell me, man. Y'all could have kept that secret amongst yourselves, but it was the worst secret ever, man. Hey, look. Let me do my best rooster impersonation, man. Mm.
Your boy was right when they signed Marcus Mariota. I said he was going to be the best backup they could sign. All of the cookie cutter radio shows, they wasn't talking that, but your boy was.
I told you. You in Linnell. I said, I went and won him for a starter. I heard you just repeat that. You repeated me from four, five months ago.
Right.
I wouldn't want him as a starter, but he's perfect as a backup for the system and for Jaden.
I'll commend you for that. I did not love him as a talent, as a player, as a consistent quarterback based on everything that I had seen over his career. You're correct about that. Look, but I was not as down on him as Linnell was.
I give you credit. See, what you peed me off about it because you were talking about Sam Howell. But I give you credit because you didn't just take a big dump doggy crap all over it like Linnell was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I ain't going to get on you too bad.
And I only wanted Howell here because I believe very much in every team needs three good quarterbacks or three potential starting quarterbacks because of injury.
So seeing what you seen from Howell a couple of weeks ago, do you want to revisit that? Right?
I mean, listen. Can I say definitively that Jeff Driscoll is better than Sam Howell? No, I can't say that. But we're talking about the third string quarterback for crying out loud.
He has better attitudes, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
Look, Mariota should have started this game. He should have started this game because clearly, Jaden was instructed not to do anything extra in this game to stay out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it seemed like they wanted him to play within the offense. And the problem with that is this offense has morphed into the quarterback has to lead this offense with his arm and his legs and quick decision making, right? So clearly you can see that Jaden wasn't playing that jump on my back style of offense. And when Mariota got in the game with all his energy and his quick decisiveness in his decision making and his legs, he was playing a different style and at a different speed that Jaden was playing. And I don't think it had anything to do with any type of being nicked up or injured. I think the game plan all along was, okay, let's go out here and play this team tight, or let's go out here and try to beat this team in the first half, and we're going to sit Jaden in the second half. I believe, in my heart of hearts, I believe that was the game plan. They might have not came out and told us that, but I believe that was the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as we was all, stressing over who we was going to play and where we was going to be in the seating, I think it was important to them, but it wasn't the end-all, be-all. I think they had no problems with going to Philly. It's a division opponent. And I don't have a bad taste or whatever you want to say about how they play Dallas. Dallas is a division opponent. Dallas is a team that, let's say it, real talk, they don't respect us. And why should us? Why should they? They have beaten us three times in a row and probably, more than out of the last 10 games.
Yeah, it was like seven out of the last eight or whatever it was. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So they didn't really fear us, and they're in our division, so I like the fact that we came out in the second half. And another thing you got to mention, too, is this team has been good with second half adjustments, whether it's the offense, whether it's just a little thing here and there on defense. But we have been good with second half adjustments.
Yeah,
but
they have.
I think Mariota came out with energy. He used his leg, you know what I mean, and he gave the team a shot in the arm. So really, he should have started this game from the beginning. Being that it seemed like it was a glorified preseason game in that first half, you know. So, but saying all that, we can't really. There's no point of going back trying to, you know, analyze this game, break this down, break that down. It's time to move on to Tampa Bay Sunday. And the thing is, don't worry about the defense. The defense is going to be what it's going to be. They're going to give up yards. They're going to give up rushing yards. They're going to give up some passing plays. They're going to give up some points. The key is what we're going to do against their defense. We have to put points on the board, and then we need our defense to get its timely stops, as they do. As bad as this defense is, they get stopped in some key situations where they force a field goals or they're able to get a turnover here and there. So this is going to be about, once again, the offense leading the way, and we just got to base everything off that. We're going to drive ourselves crazy thinking that they're going to come up with a defensive game plan that's just going to shut down
Mayfield. Yeah.
Right. They're going to do that. We've seen it. Listen. We've seen it the last three games have come down to our last offensive play. Philly, Atlanta, Dallas. So this is how it's going to be. I mean, we are basically the cardiac kids of 2024, 2025.
Yeah, no, I got you. Thank you, Paulie.
I like our chances. Hail to the W, baby. Right.
Appreciate you. We didn't have to gong him today. I don't know if Mariota should have started the game, but I was totally fine with Jaden Daniels only playing a half. Totally fine. We said that earlier in the week. We said that last Monday. That's what should have been the plan. Apparently it wasn't, but that's what should have been the plan. Now, what I don't know is if they told Jaden anything other than, hey, man, beat them with your arm and your mind, not your legs, because there was a noticeable difference. And if the instruction package was to beat them with your arm and your mind, he came up short, quite honestly. He did not do it, or he struggled. But the one thing I will say is when you only have a half, we don't know if he would have come out and done the same thing that Marcus Mariota did in the second half. That's the great unknown. All right, let's do a trending alert and then more of your calls on the other side right here, right now. All right, the Green Bay Packers surprisingly lost at Lambeau Field yesterday on a last-second field goal to the Chicago Bears, and it cost them a chance potentially at the sixth seed because the Commanders would win a couple of minutes later. And again, they would have been stuck at the seventh seed either way, but the bigger loss was Jordan Love during the game, but apparently he's going to be okay. However, stud wide receiver Christian Watson has reportedly torn his ACL, and if that is indeed true, according first reported by NFL Network, Christian Watson is going to miss not only the postseason, but also part possibly of next year. Now, it is the day after the regular season ended, and a couple of moves have already been made officially. We found out right after the Patriots game on Sunday that Gerard Mayo was going to be fired after just 1 year. Doug Peterson fired this morning by the Jacksonville Jaguars. However, surprisingly to many, they're retaining longtime general manager Trent Baalke. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the Giants head coach and general manager, they're staying, but John Mara, the owner, says he's out of patience, and we are awaiting more word on any other firings. Certainly the Dallas Cowboys situation, although Jerry Jones has been very tepid about his thoughts on that with Mike McCarthy's contract coming up for renewal. Meanwhile, tonight, right here on the Team 980, following Craig Hoffman at 6:30, you have Montana State and you have North Dakota State in the FCS Championship in college football and on the Odyssey app. And the Capitals are in Buffalo to take on the Sabres, starting at 6:45 tonight over on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. And that's what's trending. All right, we continue along more than halfway home here on a Victory Motown Monday. Jay Gruden coming up at 3 o'clock, as is normally the case. Maddie, by the way, because I'm working from home today, I'm going to need you to send me a picture of it or something like that, so that I can do business as properly expected and scheduled here for Jay Gruden coming up in about 20 minutes. Let's get back to the phone calls. Again, there's lots of things that we can talk about, obviously, within the context of the game. Look, the defense was not good. Nobody should call it good. Not enough turnovers again. Dropped interception by Luvu off the deflection early on, but in the red zone, they were really good. Now, the Cowboys were also really bad. I would not expect that, you know, just because, again, I always say this, right? You're 5 of 6 in the red zone. That was the Cowboys and Trey Lance, who stinks. It's not Baker Mayfield. Now, could that possibly happen against Baker? Could he have a really bad day? Yes, he's streaky. He's capable. But I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't expect it. Just because it happened doesn't mean it's going to happen against, or again, I should say. All right, let's, I think line 7, Franco, is next. I believe he's been on hold the longest, and then we'll get to Mark. What's up, Franco? How are you?
Hey, Rooster, first of all, man, don't let nobody call in and associate the word pathetic with our team. That's ridiculous that that man said that. If I was coming in town, I would think that we was out of the playoffs the way y'all guys talking about the Commanders. We got new owners, new coaches, new quarterback, new uniform, new name, and this is our first year at it. We 12-5. What's the problem? Who's scared of Tampa Bay?
Wait, Franco, hang on a second. Let me slow you down. Did I say they were? I didn't say they were pathetic.
No, it wasn't you. No. Oh, okay. No, it was a caller earlier.
Okay, gotcha. Maybe I missed that. Maybe I don't remember. I think I've been pretty fair. Yeah, I think I've been pretty fair with them, right? I mean,
yeah, you are. I'm saying it was a call. He called and said they were pathetic. They pathetic. Hold on.
Gotcha.
What's this dude talking about? I mean, we 12-5, man. Could listen, this is our first year. Everything is a first for us. And so I'm just so pleased. We've been losing so long. People don't know how to act when we win. The equilibrium is off. They're unbalanced, man. They say things that don't add up. Come on, man. I'm grateful that the 12-5 is there. If we lose Sunday, and I hate to even be hypothetical with that, we have done an excellent job. It's not how we got there. It's that we got there. Now, what we do with it remains to be seen. But God bless America and God bless the Commanders. I love you, Russo. We'll talk later. I'm out.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you, Franco. Always good to hear from you. Fired up. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. Listen, Franco's right. I mean, I find it funny, interesting, when I hear my colleagues, and, you know, Linnell does this all the time. I even heard, you know, I've heard Kevin do this throughout the year. And I remember early in the year, everybody was so freaking obsessed with the DVOA thing. Listen, this defense is not very good, and we all understand that they're not very good. They're close. I don't think they're that far away, but they're not very good. But they're not very good because they're also missing several key components to what should have been part of this defense, what should have been the heart of this defense on all three levels, in failed draft picks, Chase Young, Jamin Davis, and Emmanuel Forbes. And then when you throw on no Marshawn Lattimore for 6 out of the 8 games that he's been here, I guess now maybe it's 7 out of 9 or whatever it is, 6 out of 8, 7 out of 9, whatever. And when you were missing Jonathan Allen for more than half the season, what do you expect? What do you expect? I mean, what they've done here is not only make this team competitive, they've made it good. But they're not great. Again, 12-5 would suggest that they are great. Again, I can't tell you that after spending the first hour saying you are what you are, they are 12-5. But we all know that that is largely a result of a offense that is capable for the first time in forever outside of 2012 scoring 30 points a game or somewhere near 30 points a game when they're clicking on all cylinders.
I think also you have to factor in this defense. The people that we expected to grow haven't really grown that much, and this has been led by the rookies and by the veterans, the longtime veterans, your Bobby Wagners, your Frankie Louvus, and that's kind of been the distinction. You have a lot of plays from young players, a lot of plays from the veterans, but the veterans are on short contracts. So we're in a state where the core of the Commanders, like, defense is kind of up in the air. And that's why I think that you can say it hasn't been that good, but it's been 12-5, and it's been good enough to get us to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I would also say, again, this, why would anybody be expecting them to be lights out or really good? Why? Like, why? Just because Dan Quinn came in with a reputation? Doesn't work that way. That's why I put much more of an emphasis on the Jimmy and Joes as opposed to the X's and O's. All right, let's go to Mark and Chevy Chase next up on the Team 980. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, I'll try to be brief because I want to get sledding and my bird in the background needs some attention. But I have two or three points.
Shoot.
One, we got my girlfriend the Commander's jersey, same as the jersey they wore this past week.
Very nice.
So I was happy with that. She loves it. Yeah, right. Not an actual player-worn jersey, but that would be great.
That's okay.
But two, my 82-year-old grandma watched the game with us on Sunday, and she said, wow, what a team. I think this is her direct quote. I've never seen a team win so many games on the last play. So that's currently how we feel about this team. Mm-hmm. We're just thrilled with the results week in and week out. Even the game we lost to Dallas, we almost came back. So we're thrilled. And then three, we're thinking of going to Tampa, but when it comes to Tampa, this is a storied rivalry we have with this team, especially this since 2000. And maybe you can speak to it. I'm not sure if you remember the Warwick Dunn game.
Sure.
Where we were playing them in the playoffs, if you're already reporting on them. But this we have a lot of connections with Tampa. I remember Brad Johnson ended up winning a Super Bowl for them.
Well, Tampa was their last playoff win back in 2005.
Yeah.
I mean, I mentioned today to start out the show, not only do you go back to where you started this year, okay, and this new era in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium in what turned out to be an ugly kind of runaway loss, but more importantly, ironically, and you mentioned the long history with Tampa, you go back to the last time they were in the playoffs, before this, in 2020 and into 2021 at an empty Northwest, then FedEx Field Stadium. And they hung in there and went punch for punch pretty much with the eventual Super Bowl champion Tom Brady-led Buccaneers. Sure. So there is a ton of history between these two teams. Yep. And I'm sure that'll be a big part of the storyline throughout the week. But I'm glad everything worked out for you. If you're taking Grandma, be careful. It should be warmer weather than it is certainly up here. And enjoy, and I'll talk to you later on in the week. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. 249, Team 980. We got to take a timeout, get back on track. We'll come back with more of your calls. Jay Gruden coming up in about 12 or 13 minutes on the other side of 3 o'clock on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, let's try and squeeze in one or two here before the top of the hour. Let's get to line 5. I think Peter in Maryland is next up here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Pete, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Russell, how are you?
How you doing, Peter? What's going on, man?
I'm doing... Hello?
Yes, I got you. How are you?
Yeah. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
I'm ecstatic. When this season, before it began, I said 6-11 at best.
Mm-hmm.
6-11. Rookie quarterback, new coach, all new players.
Mm-hmm.
12-5. what would you, these people are saying, and I've heard it just not from the caller earlier, that they're pathetic, they should have destroyed the Cowboys. It's the Cowboys.
Yeah.
That's our biggest rival.
Right.
Those guys on the Cowboys are playing for their jobs.
Yeah.
They were on a roll.
Yeah.
They've been on a roll. And I don't care. Perhaps Jaden wasn't running. No one knows what they told him before the game. Nobody knows what they told him. But maybe he wasn't running because he was having soreness in his legs the first half. We don't know. But I thought it was a great call to pull him out.
Mm-hmm.
We're already in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We're already there. And that shows you the confidence they have in Mariota. My belief, Mr. Russell, is they need to pay Mariota big-time dollars to be the backup, to keep him. Probably won't happen if people are if he becomes a bidding war for him. But we know we got holes. We know we got things we need to address. But let's do that after their season's over. I have complete confidence in this new ownership and the front office, the GM, that they're going to put to good use that $102 million worth of cap space that they got and the draft. I'm excited about the future. Whatever they do the rest of this season, they're in the playoffs. It's a cherry on top. I wasn't seeing this. I've been a Skins fan since I was 10 years old, 53 years. Seen the glory days, seen the Dan Snyder days, 12 and 5. What would you rather have to all these people saying they mm-hmm. should have destroyed the Cowboys and they're mm-hmm. no good? Would you rather have 4-13?
No, I love the positivity, Peter. And listen, I mean, I could tell it in your voice. It's important. And you're right. And that's why we opened up the show. I don't know how long you've been listening today with saying, hey, listen.
I've been listening for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, just for anybody just joining us then, you know, like yesterday was far from perfect. It was far from perfect.
No.
But you know what?
Right.
It ended perfectly. Not only in the win, but the way they executed that final play. And that, to me, is how you have to kind of focus and say, all right, we need more of that in order to beat Tampa. Because whatever yesterday was isn't going to be good enough to beat Tampa in most cases. But let's focus on what we did do right, and that is not only the win, but, again, the execution and perfection on that final play, and really, on for the most part, on that final drive, which we probably haven't talked about enough. Peter, I appreciate the phone call and the positivity. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for listening, as always. Maddie, who's been on hold longer, line 4, line 6? Any idea?
Line 6.
Line 6. All right. Thomas is in D.C. next on the Team 980. Thomas, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
Good, Tom. What's going on?
Okay, first I want to say hail to the Redskins. I mean, hail to the Commanders.
No, you can. Yeah, I mean, you can say both. I mean,
we don't stomp on people
that call them the Redskins because that was their name for a very long time. So.
Right, right. Well, you know, in my mind, they're going to always be the Redskins, but. But this
Understood.
Is what I wanted to say, though, in regards to the team. I would just try to understand what I'm trying to say. When the Cowboys, when they played that game yesterday, like the guy just called, the Cowboys were playing for their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what the defense did. The defense knew the followers of the Commanders or us. We need to start thinking. The reason why look at the way the defense played him. Because their whole thing was, we know you can throw, we know you can run, but we come up in there on you, and you're not going to get 2 seconds to throw that ball. Now, this is what I wanted to say.
That's fair.
Get that out of the way, but
yeah, that's fair.
But I wanted to agree with the caller that just called. But this is what I want to say about the game, right? When the coach pulled Jaden out the game, that was a good thing. That was a real good thing. He seen it. He seen what they were doing. He seen what was happening. Put a fresh new, you know, some legs in there. Mario to the backup. He went in there and handled his business. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you, and I appreciate the phone call. I got to let you run because we're up against it, and we got Jay Gruden joining us. But here's the one thing that I will say. Again, I said a week ago on this show, after the Sunday night win, for me, I only wanted Jaden Daniels to play a half. Now, I would have preferred for him to play better, but I only wanted him to play for a half. In a game that they determined to be very important to win for multiple reasons, and that's exactly what happened. I would have liked him to play slightly better or moderately better, but it appears that they got away with it. They got a win. They got Mariota some confidence. They got McLaurin back into the mix. They made some plays in the second half on the ground and through the air. They got the sixth seed. The defense, all right, you know, some good, not enough. They got what they got. We'll see what Jay Gruden thinks about it all next. The former head coach joins us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.